if you've ever seen a Rubik's Cube, it's a box with multifaceted corners on it in different colors. Well, a rubric is really just, I think, a way, and I'm sure there's a whole lot of people in this room that can explain it better than I could. A rubric is a way of putting information in a way that's meaningful and combining what we might call subjective and objective information so that you might have a way to assess something. I remember reading a book on regarding our Christian school, and I was reading about a school in California that is for, how do I describe this? For mechanics, for electricians, for carpenters, a trade school. And they were trying to figure out a rubric on how to assess students in a what we would call a practical environment versus students in an academic environment. I mean, a number environment. If you give a math test, you have a number. But how do you number a piece of artwork? How do you put a grade on somebody's playing a trumpet? So there are some things that are more different, more subjective. And so it says on this rubric under the letter, it says introduction. I'm going to take a little bit of time to give you this tool, explain the tool, and we're going to use the tool this morning. This tool is the product of many thoughtful conversations with my son Jason regarding church music. This is an attempt, objectively and subjectively, to quantify music impressions. This is an attempt to address the area of sacred music. Therefore, it is a work in progress. I am asking the Lord for wisdom, guidance, and direction, as well as directing me toward those that have invested a lifetime in this area of study. So, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 columns of information for every song that I'm going to give you today. Now, for each song, you only have a certain amount of time, which means for those of you that like to complete things, this is going to be a very frustrating service. I'm going to leave you with tension on purpose. We have built all year toward this time. We've been focusing on Heart of Worship since January. Now's the time to make practical application of what we listen to and our choices. You realize this is probably the most difficult stronghold in most of our lives is our music. I'm going to park there just for a second and enjoy the silence. This is a very personal, touchy area. So much so it divides churches. It divides families. It divides homes. It divides friendships. Title. Title is what it is. This includes the name of the piece of music as well as the writer of the lyrics and the arranger of the musical accompaniment. The background and the beliefs of the songwriter, composer, and arranger does matter to many people. The theology of the person does influence the lyrics of a song and the meaning of the song. Sacred music should teach spiritual truth. The philosophy of the musician and the writer will influence the content and character of the piece. All of this taken together will determine how consistent the piece is with the Word of God. Just so you know, today you're going to be listening to 7 different video clips. They're not all sacred music. Just so you know, obviously there's secular music in here on purpose. Number 2. Now, please understand, to give a clip on melody, harmony, and rhythm is like trying to, drain the ocean with a water pistol. This is just a tip of the iceberg. Melody, the most prominent part of the music, the most recognizable. It is the horizontal arrangement of sound which is recognized first. It comes in sequence or in a series that goes along in time, usually referred to as major or minor scales. The melody of the nursery rhyme, Mary had a little lamb, would be a simple example of a melody. Some refer to it as putting music to poetry, and putting poetry to music. The central identity of a piece is the melody. Melody is the heart and the key that gives music its power. Melody is the life voice within us. It can produce feelings and emotions as well as elicit meaning. National anthems are a good example. Now, the only thing I want you to know about melody is this. It is the spiritual aspect of music. So as this music ministers to your spirit, that doesn't necessarily mean it's godly spiritual music. When I hear the national anthem, I tear up. Does that mean it's sacred music? No. Is it speaking to my spirit? Yes. Not my Holy Spirit. My spirit and my soul. And I understand we're going to get very technical here, but let's move on. I'm basically saying, now, Pastor, what do I put down there? Do I put a number 5? Do I put a smiley face? What do I put down on melody? I don't know. I don't know. How do you quantify melody? You can't quantify it, can you? You can put words about melody, but how do you quantify melody? Like with a number. And I'm sure there are music people in here that might know how to. I don't know how to do that yet. So again, if you don't know what to put there, put a smiley face. Or a thumbs down if you don't like it. Like, dislike. I don't know how you do it. Second, harmony is the vertical aspect of music. Whenever you have two or more notes, usually called a triad, usually designated major and minor, sounding at the same time, there's a chord produced. It is the sounds which are heard when the individual parts collide. It adds depth and color to the melody. Harmony is the intellectual part of music. Harmony suggests the idea of fitting something together. It joins the melody and the rhythm together. It is the soulish aspect of music, or the mind, the will, and the emotion. Now, I'll get to that in a moment, but because we are made as a trinity, spirit, soul, and body, music affects us in those three areas. Isn't it ironic that music is broken down in three major categories? It's not ironic at all. That's exactly the way it should be because God initiated music. On the backside, it says rhythm. Rhythm is a very broad term to describe the way we organize sounds in time. It provides structure. The rhythm is the pulse or the beat, the note length of the music. It is often described with beat and meter. It places notes in patterns that are repetitive. A metronome is a device that would provide a synchronized and consistent rate of assigned beats. Somebody said it's like listening to a kindergartner trying to drum for the first time. He has no idea where to put beats and rhythm and so forth. Rhythm is the tempo of the music. It makes the music move. Rhythm is what makes you feel the groove in music. It makes harmonies want to march. It makes people want to dance. It is the physical part of the music. It is the part of music which your body responds to. Okay, so now that I got that out of the way, lyrics. The words need to be scripturally accurate. For instance, and we talked about this all Wednesday night for service. So if you weren't here on Wednesday night service, that's what we talked about. How not only are they changing the word of God, but they're changing the hymn books. Because some people don't like the word worm. So they change the word worm to sinner. And so on and so forth. So I'm going to pass on that. Style. I just Googled style and I came up with about 20 different styles. You probably know 100 more. If you just go to Wikipedia and you type in style of music and you click on rock and roll, you could be there for an entire livelihood. Musicality. This is a very broad, weird category that I came up with, but it's a real term, and I'm sure I didn't describe it well, but I've described it this way. This category is loosely defined here. It represents an attempt to determine the simplicity or the complexity of the musical piece. It also suggests by this category to determine the relative ease or difficulty of the piece for a church setting, for a choir, or for any select group interested in performing it. Spirituality. This is the most important part of what we're looking at. Using the biblical approach to the nature of man, spiritual, soulical, and physical, sacred music should be just that, sacred. Now, how that gets defined will be determined mostly by the principles of spirituality clearly described in God's word. There are three main things. There are many things that Christians are involved in on a daily basis. According to the Bible, all that we can be divided into three categories. They could be carnal, soulish, or spiritual. That's 1 Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. At any moment, we might be in the flesh, or we might be in an emotional crisis, or we could be battling with our will, or we could be cheerfully submitting to the Word of God and following the leading of the Holy Spirit in obedience to His command. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Context. This category is to represent the intended use for the particular piece of music. There are certain styles, arrangements, and lyrics that would be more appropriate for VBS than for missions conference. And lastly, summary. What do I say there? This category is meant to provide a means of addressing all of the elements taken together. Meaning, if you had to come to me and say, Pastor, I want to do a song on a special, as a special, don't be surprised if I hand you a sheet of paper like this and says, okay, rate the song you're going to do as a special. You mean I got to do that before I sing a song? Or if we do a song for Vacation Bible School, I want you to take some time and evaluate the song so that you know you've studied the song, you've meditated on the song, you've done some biblical research on the song. So I'm asking you to put some skin in the game as the pastor. And maybe you then could say, I don't know if that song's appropriate for VBS. You see, it'd be better for you to come to that conclusion than for me to be the ogre. Boom. Nope. Out. Can't use that song. You see what I'm saying? All right. And then I just become some tyrant and some micromanager, as opposed to bringing our church family to the cross, using the Word of God and the Spirit of God to filter and teach us the most important aspect of our Christian walk. That's our worship of God. And we trivialize music. We do it all the time. For me, it's because I was ignorant and I didn't want to take the time to learn. And I'm not sure what your excuse is. But I love you and we're going to have a good time today. Honestly. There might be a piece where the lyrics are exactly what could be used for a specific setting, yet the tempo or the style is completely inappropriate. In other words, the piece of music, including this particular arrangement, has crossed the line of sacred music. It does not meet or qualify biblical decorum, restraint, wholesomeness, beauty, and biblical truth that is imperative in pleasing the Lord in worship. Okay, you ready? Good. I'm glad somebody's ready. Take out your pens. Here we go. You'll know the first song immediately. Dave, hit it. Anybody know the title? Now you associate with Hawaii Five-0. Interesting. What's the name of the song? Mission Impossible. Write it in. Mission Impossible. That's the title. This is Sheer knows the piano. Now, how are you supposed to do all those 10 columns in a minute and 30 seconds? I don't know. Is your foot tapping? Does it have a tempo? Is it a spiritual song? How do you know? It doesn't have any words. That's an interesting concept. All right, let's talk about it. Charlene raises a good point. Were there any lyrics? Okay. Not applicable. However, you can't do that. You can't say not applicable. Because music has association. What's the association? Hawaii Five-O. If you even know what Hawaii Five-O is. I know, but Hawaii Five-O, this was the theme music that they used for Hawaii. Okay, thank you for the correction. So there we have an association that there was a movie made by that name. How many have ever seen the movie? Was there a TV series? So therefore, there's a direct association toward a biblical or a secular entertainment venue. Which means association is context. Right, it doesn't have lyrics. Well, yeah, but we're trying to evaluate the entire song. Context is one column of the song, right? So it has a lot of parts to that song, obviously. And we could spend the rest of the service on that one song. My goal is not to, but I chose that song specifically because, one, Cindy knows the piano player. Two, you all know the song. Three, it had no lyrics, and I thought this would be a good place to start. Yes, exactly. What our background is, and that's where the word association comes in, or the context. Right. You could be a Mission Impossible junkie. This could be your life. How about Star Wars? I could have just as easily played a Star Wars theme, and everybody would have recognized it, and the association would have been immediate. Okay? Next song. It's not what you think it is. Little John Travolta. Called the Fifth of Beethoven. Or we call it Beethoven's Fifth. It's that first. Thank you. Now, the last thing in the world I want to do is offend anyone. This service is not meant to offend, honest. It's kind of instructional, I hope. I hope it'll be a teaching time. Some of you go back to the dance floor of the 80s. 70s. Who said 70s? Miss Susan said 70s. Susan corrected the pastor as to when that was on the disco floor. Write that down in the business meeting minutes. Shh. Anybody want to make a comment about that song? No words, but it does have a style, which is funk, disco, dance, alternative. There's a lot of different labels. There's parts of it that's classical music, right? I mean, that's where it came from. It's Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, which is definitely classical music. Interesting arrangement, right? It's all about the arrangement. A fifth of Beethoven. Now, I wonder if that's a, you know, some people call it a fifth of liquor. I don't know why they titled it that way. They couldn't call it Beethoven's Fifth, obviously, because it wasn't. All right, you ready? Title number three is A Million Dreams. Hit it, Dave. Anybody tell me where the song comes from? Greatest Show on Earth.
And I can see a world that's waiting up for me, that I call my home. Through the dark, through the door, through where no one's been before, but it feels like home to us. They can say it all sounds crazy. They can say I've lost my mind. I don't care, so call me crazy. We can live in a world that we design. 'Cause every night I lie in bed, the brightest colors fill my head.
That's 500 men.
A million dreams are keeping me awake. I think of what the world could be. A vision of the one I see. A million dreams are all it's gonna take. Oh, a million dreams for the world we're gonna make. There's a house we can build. Every room inside is filled with things from far away. Special things I compile, each one there to make you smile on a rainy day. They can say it all sounds crazy. They can say we've lost our minds. I don't care if they call us crazy. Run away to a world that we design.
Brightest colors fill my head. A million dreams are keeping me awake. I think of what the world could be. A vision of the one I see. A million dreams are all it's gonna take. Oh, a million dreams for the world we're gonna make. However big, however small,
let me be part of it all. Share your dreams with me. You may be right, you may be wrong, but see that you bring me along to the world you see. To the world I close my eyes to see. I close my eyes to see.
Every night I lie in bed, the brightest colors fill my head.
How many of you have ever heard that before? That arrangement, that what did it make you feel like? Sorry? Teary-eyed. Teary-eyed. Because it's a secular song. Right? Easy listening.
Expected to hear this big sound with all these men singing, but then once that group of people, the ensemble came on, and then I understood why they were starting out small, and then they were building really big, and then I could hear those 500 men in beautiful harmony.
I read some research recently that one trumpet versus 10 trumpets is not 50 decibels and then 500 decibels. So one trumpet can maybe give you 50 decibels, but 10 trumpets might be able to give you 55, 58. In the Bible, there's 200,000 voices in a choir. 200,000 voices at the dedication of the temple for Solomon. 200,000 voices. What did that sound like? Again, today's research says one trumpet, 10 trumpets, there's a little bit of a bump. But a choir of 100 versus a choir of 1,000, little bit of a bump, decibel-wise. That has nothing to do with artificial amplification, where rock and roll concerts now are louder than jet planes. Ready for the next song? Okay.
Hit it, Dave.
Nearer, my God, to thee.
Nearer to me, grow more tears, generators, me. Shall be nearer, my God, to thee.
Comments? Any words? Yes? Yes, what? Sorry? Some of it was Latin. Impressions? Okay.
I thought that the rendition took away from the message.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, just to me maybe, it almost sounded like the Lion King with that background chanting.
It sounded spiritual, but folks singing may not be spiritual.
How do you know that? Who are they? Does anybody know who that is? Of course, Dave knows because he has the title. Brigham Young University is the university for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Those were all Mormons. That's a good question to ask. Was it spiritual music? Yes. Was it sung by born-again believers? No. Did it touch your spirit? Touched my spirit, not my Holy Spirit. It touched my bodily spirit. Yes, it did. It touched my bodily spirit. The words had a message, for sure. Is the message true? Yes. But it wasn't sung by believers. Yes, right. It was obviously arranged for this kind of a performance. All right, ready for the next one? Behold our God.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice.
Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold. Come, let us adore.
sinful man. God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. Lord our God, seated on his throne, all from thence adore him.
California Baptist University. You know this is a setup, right? Obviously, these are handpicked. There's millions of opportunities and examples to show. I'm showing this as I compare it with another, same exact title, same exact words. Anybody want to venture a word or an impression or... There's a lot of columns there. Oh, wait a minute. Let me pause on that for a moment because that is the most important phrase here this morning. For me. Do you know what that means? That means preference. Now, that's one area that we really, I think, have to get over as Christians. Because either there's truth or there isn't. We're not dealing with lattes or chocolate chip cookies. Well, I like this or I like that. That's preference. There is either truth or there isn't. And when it comes to music, biblical music, again, this, I'm in an area where I have no idea where I'm going, but I'm really excited because of the journey. And I hope you're excited too, because I want to approach God's throne more acceptably each day. I don't know about you. I want to try to please God more, not by my works, but maybe more by biblical worship as I learn what it might be. I'm sorry to interrupt. As for me.
I had my eyes closed when it first started. It helped me listen better.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be distracted by what I'm
seeing. Exactly. My eye affecteth my heart. Yes, it does.
That I personally, and I know that it's either right or wrong, but it was almost too much. And the instruments, to me, took away a little bit because it seemed, it was almost like, you know, my pulse and my the beat of me inside, it feels like it's going to the music. And it wasn't really, that enrapturing feeling for me didn't initiate with the lyrics, it initiated with the music. And I felt I got more from the end in acapella than I did in the beginning.
So you were on two different trains?
started out, I don't know where the verse is, but where it says, like, we can't tell God anything. He knows it all. It's the verse that says, I'm in love for words, but, you know, we can't tell God, the answers to things or how he gets. It started out well, like, who can tell God anything? But then it turned out, as nice as the harmony and everything might have been, it turned out into a party because it was almost like the king flesh be, you know.
Do you think those young people thought that?
No, absolutely not.
They didn't, did they?
I think they sang from their heart.
Oh, their passion was obvious. They were having a spiritual experience. That whole group was like, wow. But you said something interesting. They went over into the physical.
I see it different. I identify with it because for me it was spiritual, and the excitement is part of who you are. As a Christian, you are excited. You know that God is your God. So you're excited about it, and you're not afraid to show that. You know what I mean? To me, I mean, as you say, to me.
Right. It's everybody's opinion.
And it was very moving within me, my spirit within me, because what it was saying was true.
Now, what I'm trying to show, again, there are more than one spirits. And that is what we must never forget. Lost people die and their spirit departs. Now, if they're lost, they never had the Holy Spirit. So the Bible clearly says, man, every person ever conceived has a spirit. That spirit departs when they pass. For a Christian, that Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians, that indwells us, hopefully rules and reigns in our lives, has invaded our life. So therefore, the Holy Spirit that's inside of us can rule and reign our spirit, our human spirit. For clarification, Cindy.
I watch that. I'm very visual. So when I watch something, I'm looking, and I might not have heard the words that they were singing. I kind of shut that all out. And I thought to myself, oh, as a choir director, you want your people to smile. You want them to move a little bit. And I looked at it, I'm like, they all have the same color dresses on. They all have the same color lipstick. And I realized this is really well rehearsed, well choreographed, when to smile, when to look at the vocalist, when to not look at the vocalist. And I kind of got caught up in it's so choreographed that it started to look fake.
Mm-hmm. Chris, is it Penny's birthday today?
No.
Okay, sorry.
Your question was kind of already answered. I guess I'm just. Do we sometimes get too focused on certain things as Christians? And we tend to nitpick?
Yeah, it's something I agree with.
I understand biblically, but at the same time, like, that song can move somebody spiritually, it can move somebody not, but I think sometimes we tend to nitpick.
All right. Could I just address that as your pastor? Your kids have certain needs. They make them plain to you, but you're the adult. No, let me just say one more thing, because everybody in this room is on a different spiritual journey and is at a different spiritual place. I've been saved 35 years, okay? And 35 years of salvation, for some reason, I've missed some things. Now, tonight I'm going to talk about spiritual blindness regarding music. So please come back tonight if you want to find out a little bit more, and every other service that I'm going to do till the end of the year, because every service is going to be building on these services. So this is my introduction to frustration. So if you want to be mad at the pastor, this is the perfect service to come to and say, what is he talking about? Why is he doing that? I don't agree with that. Exactly. I told you this is going to be the tension service where there are going to be no answers, where I'm going to open up Pandora's box on purpose. Because, like I said, this is the stronghold of Satan's music and the word. He said to Adam and Eve, yea, hath God said. That's what he said. And ever since Genesis 3, doubt has been one of our greatest downfalls as human beings and sin. Satan was the anointed cherub. He was the choir director in heaven. Okay, so I'm not trying to nitpick, but I am trying to show, I'm beginning to show, I hope, some biblical direction for what we would call worship, biblical worship. This is a Christian university, and we're just observing. And there's a lot of good. And somebody would say, was it true? Somebody might then say, was it beautiful? Beautiful in God's eyes. Was it beautiful in our eyes? Yes. Somebody may have been offended by the swaying. Try Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. I mean, if you're offended by swaying. But, I really enjoy some lobster. That's physical. That's physical. So I'm not trying to nitpick. I'm just trying to educate. And this is a beginning of a process. And I hope you were here because, again, if you're not here, how are we going to replicate this service? Let's do the next song. Same title. Behold Our God.
Has held the oceans in his hands, who has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore has given counsel to the Lord. Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come let us adore him. Hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man, God eternal, humbled to thy grave, Jesus Savior, risen now today. Behold our God, seated on his throne.
come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come let us adore him. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come let us adore him. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come let us adore.
That wasn't a show. But that's what I felt like doing the entire song. Peter was in a room with the 12 apostles and Judas was there. We learned about that in Life Group this morning. Judas had his feet washed by Christ at the Last Supper. So did Peter. You know what Peter said to Jesus? You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet now, you're never going to understand the things that you need to know in the future. Same event, same song, same service. It touched one person, but it didn't touch somebody else. Is that biblical? Sure it is. Sure it is. Why? Our blindness. That's what I'm preaching on tonight. Spiritual blindness. Where does it come from? Last song. Of course, you have no idea where I'm going now. I wish we could, but we don't have time. This is called Majesty, Here I Am. Majesty, Here I Am. So you can go back and look these up if you want to on YouTube.
Covered by your grace, so free. Here I am, knowing I'm a sinful man. Covered by the blood of the Lamb. And now the greatest love of all is mine, since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Empty-handed, but alive in your hand. you. Forgive him so that I can forgive. Here I stand, knowing that I'm your desire, sanctified by glory and fire. Oh, now I found the greatest love of all is mine. Since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice.
Would you grab the lights? Thank you. That's the last song. Anybody want to make a comment on that one? Jason.
I thought the melody, I know we haven't talked about this a lot, but I feel like the melody of that song is incredibly rich. Like the chorus is just incredible.
Victor?
I think that song is what they call it. I call it. It can go either way. People secular or some Christian background, or secular, it's one of those uncomfortable songs that you have to be careful.
David?
I think the best was the other two songs. Behold Our God showed two different presentations. Same words, same message. But the context, which translates into a
appropriate in terms of appropriateness for certain situations. I guess that one, although the words were the same, one presentation could be appropriate for one thing and the other one for another one. So context plays a big part. And if we begin to address one aspect, one category over the other, we could lose the perspective of the message. In terms of considering the appropriateness for the moment, where is it being presented?
That's a good point, and I'll use that as my invitation. Because you said, in certain situations. My Bible says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Period. In every situation. Do I live that? No. Do you live that? No. What does God expect? That's what God expects. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Isn't that true? Isn't that what the Bible says? So therefore, setting, circumstances, culture, whatever we want as human beings to figure out how to get our way is legitimate for us because we're justifying some way to not meet what could be, should be, biblically laid out by God for His people on how to be approved by Him. Right? We're accepted by Him. We're accepted in the Beloved. The Bible says that. So then why shouldn't everything we do, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, be glorifying to God? Can we live that? In your flesh, can you live that? No, and neither can I. Now, 1 Corinthians 2 and 3 says, there's a natural man, there's a carnal man, and there's a spiritual man. Where are you? Natural man, spiritual man, carnal man. Regarding your music, at this moment, now, because I know this is going to change as soon as you walk out that door. Where are you now? Are you teachable? The Bible clearly says there are things that blind us. What are we blind to? That's a good question. Would you think, just a sarcastic comment, do you think Satan would want to blind God's people about music? Absolutely. Okay, that's a given. That's a given. Then why don't we address the issue? There's a lot of reasons why we don't address the issue. It's the sacred cow. It's the sacred cow. Music, the sacred cow, and the Bible. The two sacred cows of all Christianity. Well, I was never ready to address this sacred cow. Quite frankly, I was afraid. And so are you. I was ignorant, and so are you. But that doesn't help us at the judgment seat of Christ, does it? No. So therefore, if it's time for you to teach others, Hebrews chapter 5, but you still have need of milk, the Bible says you're a babe. A babe? I've been saved 45 years. What are you talking about? I'm a babe in Christ. Maybe in this area. We're lazy. We're lazy. Do you know how much stuff is available on music? There's not enough time in your life to study the stuff that's available on music. Good biblical teaching on what is biblical music. And yet, we're not interested. Why? Sacred cow. I like that. My preference is fooey on your preference. In all due respect and all due love, fooey on your preference. If God clearly has 500 to 600 verses on music, we are ignorant. I'm ignorant. But I like that. What part of you likes that? That's the point. I like cheesecake. That doesn't touch my spirit. My Holy Spirit. Does it? No, but I got preferences. You got preferences. We're talking about Almighty God. What brings us to that place? Behold our God. How long would it take? How many concerts, how many Bible conferences do we have to go to in order to clear away all of the debris and all of the dust and all of the dirt and all of the smoke that's covering our souls and our hearts? How much would it take to purify us musically? I have no idea. But that's a question I'm going to ask you. How much will it take to purify your heart musically? Let's pray. Lord, this has been different. And I want to wrap my arms physically and spiritually around my church family and tell them I love them. I care for them. And we are in a battle. We're in a warfare, Lord, for our soul, our spirit, our heart, our lives, Lord. We are bombarded with music every single place we go. God, I pray you'd give us discernment. You'd give us wisdom and understanding. That you'd give us a desire to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. Help us, Lord, to not be afraid of this area of our lives that is so valuable, so powerful, so impressionable to us. Our music. Lord, this isn't our music. It's yours. You created it. It's yours. Let us give it back to you. Let us release it to you. We don't own it. We create things like words. We say things that might not be pleasing, might not be acceptable to you, Lord. We create and we make music that might not be acceptable to you or pleasing to you. In the quiet of the moment, before we leave, before the day takes over, are you open and receptive to what the Bible says about music? Would you be willing to allow God to teach you to be more acceptable in your worship to Him? Would you desire to be less of a stumbling block to your kids? To your grandkids, to those you might teach, to your spouse, to your parents, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors. Because our choices have consequences. Maybe God's working in your heart as we speak. You say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart this morning. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. God has spoken to my heart this morning. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Lord, you've seen those hands. You know our hearts. Lord, I pray you'd bring us back this evening, that you might show us clearly, biblically, what is blinding us, perhaps in this area of our lives. Surely we have got other issues. But maybe this issue, at least for now, for this moment, we could pray and ask God to address in our lives. Lord, I'm so thankful you've been patient and long-suffering with me. I've made so many mistakes musically as a Christian. I was so ignorant, so unwilling to be convicting, so unwilling to learn and to make a stand, actually be unpopular. I didn't want to be unpopular. I wanted to go along in order to get along. Lord, I don't think that's important now. Your coming is soon. It's time, Lord, that we be biblical. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we leave, I'd like to take one offering and others' offering. I know it's late. I'm sorry it's late. I need two ushers. This is an offering for others in our church. Others in our church. Pastor, I wasn't prepared. That's fine. I'll do it again tonight and Wednesday and tomorrow morning. Please understand, I love you guys, and I know you might not want to talk to me after the service. I get that. I understand. My kids didn't like me either after I spanked them, but I loved them. I love you. I love you. Jose, would you pray for offering? All right, one last item of business, which is very, very important. I received a letter back in June from Diane Lekowitz. Is that how you say your last name, Diane? Wants to join the church. And I said, Pastor, she gave you a letter back in June. She did. Diane has a very colorful background. How many of you have ever seen a kaleidoscope? Diane has a very interesting background, and she's also a very interesting young lady who helped us with Vacation Bible School. And we've had some discussions, and she's spent some time with Edie about some questions that we had regarding her church membership. So could I ask both of you to come forward? So this is Diane's transfer letter, as well as her testimony letter from her church in Alden. Edie has already written me a letter regarding their time together, regarding our church beliefs and our church constitution. And I would like to, after giving all of your information to our deacons as well, to welcome you to be a member of First Bible Baptist Church in Lancaster. Thank you so much. Edie, thank you so much for your investment as well. So Diane's going to be in the foyer. Make sure you give her a hand of fellowship on her way out, okay? All right, you're dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock. Oh, ladies' Bible study at 4:30.